Good morning, and welcome to the 2013 Fundraising Success Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Joe Bolin, Managing Editor of Fundraising Success. I'm pleased to welcome you to this session, The Proper Care and Feeding of Middle-Level Donors, with Andrew Ladano of L.W. Robbins. Before we get started, let me review some technical pointers. First, if you have any technical issues, troubleshoot by clicking on the widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the question and answer box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions later on if there's time, and you can send them in at any time, and we can follow up afterwards as well if any questions get unanswered. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so you can utilize all the features on the console. Check out the Tips for Attendees widget if you'd like to learn about the console you're viewing on today. If you're looking to get CFRE credits for attending this session, please pay special attention when I sign off at the end. I'll be going over how to obtain the tracking document then. And finally, if you would like to view this session again later, don't forget that we'll be archiving the entire show today. We'll have the on-demand environment up and running for 3 months beginning on Monday, September 16th. Watch your email for more details. Now, with the technical stuff out of the way, please welcome Andrew Ladano, Vice President of Client Services and Senior Strategist of L.W. Robbins.
Thanks very much, Joe. And thank all of you for attending the program. Like Joe said, the title of the presentation is The Proper Care and Feeding of Mid-Level Donors. What it's really about is trying to analyze and look at, is a mid-level program right for you? And in addition, once you've decided you want to do a mid-level program, how big and how complex do you want to make it based on your organization and what's right for you all? And that there's a lot of things that go into that. Before we begin, I'd like to just take a poll and ask you guys to give me some background from you all as to whether you currently have a program, don't have a program, or you're in the midst of working on it. And I think this will be good because it'll give me some direction to be able to tailor the rest of the presentation to you know, where you all are in the process with your own programs. Okay, let's see. Okay, so it looks like from the results so far that 28% of you have a program, a little over 40% don't, and 31% of you are looking, either are working on it or have in mind to get going with it. So that's great. So over 70% of you are, over 50% of you either have one or are thinking about going towards one. And I'm sure from the ones that don't, I'm sure you do look to try to start one. So today, what we're going to try to cover is what's the value of a mid-level donor program? Because I think sometimes it gets a little bit misconstrued. Who should you invite to join the mid-level program? How do you launch and grow the program? What are the best ways to invite donors to join? Whether it's direct mail, whether it's through internet, you know, event programs. What channel is the best channel for doing that? And should you brand your mid-level club or not brand it? And if you do, what kind of logo or what kind of treatment you should have for it? And a big part of it is, do you offer benefits? Is benefits a critical part to retaining members into your mid-level program? And then finally, I think you really need to consider how much you're willing to invest and what is required in terms of an investment from the organization side when you when will you see that return on your investment? So these are all the questions we're hoping to kind of go through and discuss. So, first of all, the benefits of a program. Now, I put this in a special order because I want to kind of rank it in terms of importance. Many people see it as an upgrade strategy, but for me, I look at a mid-level giving program as a retention and a relationship-building strategy. So your mid-level program allows you to give your best donors special recognition and an opportunity for you all to build stronger relationships with certainly the most valuable part of your direct marketing or direct mail file, and to also try to increase the loyalty of the donors into what is the most valuable part of your direct response direct mail file. But there is that side benefit or added value which, you know, hopefully happens, which you're upgrading donors and increasing the gross and net income significantly from that. And that can happen not just from upgrading donors, but also once you get your donors into the mid-level, that you're actually retaining and growing the size of your mid-level file. So let's go through just a few of the facts. I think sometimes there's a misnomer that you can only have a mid-level program if you have a really large file and you're a real big program and you have tons of staff. But the truth is that both large and small programs can succeed with a mid-level giving strategy. What mid-level means to me is really it serves as a bridge between your core renewal program or donor direct mail direct marketing program and your major giving department or your major giving team. Typically, it recognizes donors giving at the $100 level, and the top level can vary greatly based on a file audit, but typically it goes somewhere up to $1,000 or $5,000, but those are pretty general numbers, and it really will vary depending on your organization and the giving levels of your current file. And again, the facts are that what we have seen is by creating a mid-level program, it does, over time, generate significantly more gross and net revenue. So getting started, the first thing that we do to establish a mid-level program is to do an audit of your donor file to determine which donors deserve mid-level treatment. Typically, we look at gifts of $100 or more. What is that size of that population? Other things that you may want to consider is loyalty and giving for many years, or people who are multi-gift givers. And then other things is people that you want to try to move up into the mid-level program, and that may be based on some type of wealth scoring or other data overlays that indicate that this person has a potential to give at those levels, but are not currently at that level. So those are all things. And then finally, I didn't add this, but at what level does your major gift start to support giving? So if it's going to be the bridge, it's got to be that, you know, the mid-level is the entree into your major gift. So that may be setting where the level is. It's not just the number of donors you want to support in the mid-level, but it's also based on what level the major gifts, your major gifts department can support. But typical rule of thumb that I use, just because of economics of direct mail, if that's the typical way you're maintaining and communicating to these people is if you have at least 3,000 donors in this group, that's a level that can be supported cost-wise and still be able to treat them with a solid treatment. So I look at that number as kind of a baseline. The next thing is supporting the business rules for the mid-level track. And this is really important to think about before you launch the program. You want to create business rules that you can support on the staff side in the back. Some things to consider based on, is it going to be based on cumulative giving history within a year? Do you want to base it on the highest recent gift? Are you going to have a specific amount that they have to give one time in order to qualify into the program? Or is it an annual program? So these are the types of things you want to think about. Who do you want in the program? Is it going to be they have to give one time at least $100, or can they give $100 in four $25 gifts or two $50 gifts over the course of a year? And then do you want to tie that gift in based on your fiscal year, or is it an annual program? Typically, we like to do it on a calendar year because this is what the donors think about. They don't typically think in your fiscal year. And then how do donors enter and exit? How long will you support them in the mid-level program based on their performance once they're in or once they're invited? And then are you going to brand the program? Are you going to give it its own identity? That's something you want to talk and think about. We typically want to do that, but I've seen several programs where they're not giving a brand, but give it just based on a treatment. And then the communication channel, are you only supporting it in direct mail? Are you only currently doing direct mail? Or if you're going to be in the other channels, if you're going to be online, make sure that communication is consistent with whatever you're doing in the other channels. And then how much staff do you have that can honestly support the program? And are you going to dedicate staff to the program? These are things that are very important. And even on the back end, and we can get into this a little bit later, but even in the back end in terms of fulfillment of benefits. Another thing that's really important is getting buy-in from your senior management. There is going to be more staff time and costs. The packages in your mail program, at least for an invite into the program and to launch the program, should be higher end, feel more valuable, make the donor feel more valuable. We typically talk about using first class postage to get to these people. And so, you know, you need to make sure that your senior management is buying in to this additional expense for this part of the file. You're also going to want to figure out about coding, particularly if it is an annualized program and if there is going to be fulfillment of benefits on the back end. You're going to need special coding and data structures in order to support the program. You need to know who these people are, and you need to be able to identify both for selection purposes and for acknowledgement purposes. And then you want to track across all the channels. If you make an invite and say that the gift is going to be $100 and it's a gift that is annualized, meaning two $50 gifts, you want to make sure that if they give one gift online of $50 and one gift in direct mail, that the channels are coordinated and that you're representing their entire giving. Otherwise, what is a positive and a cultivation can quickly turn into a negative experience. So make sure you're tracking those donors across all the channels that you're communicating to your donors. And also, in terms of buy-in from senior management, present to them long-term revenue projections to bolster your case. It is typical that in your first year, you're going to people who either already qualify, so they've already donated at that level. And so you really need to show them 2-3 year projections, 4 year projections of how this mid-level program is going to provide growth. It's going to create more prospects for your major gift department and therefore make them more effective, but also retain and grow the revenue of those donors for your existing file. So make the case that this is not just a short-term strategy. We're going to give them a fancier package and a new logo, and then all of a sudden all of this revenue is going to start pouring in. It's not that type of a strategy. It's, like I said in the very beginning, it really is about retaining and giving further access and better communication and creating better loyalty with your most valuable donors. So with a mid-level program, there's eight steps to success. The first one is to create a distinctive name and brand. The second is set giving levels. Third is create benefits. And those benefits don't have to be expensive or cumbersome. You can create things that are easy to maintain, particularly if you have a small program. Develop invitation and renewal campaigns. Obviously, in the first year, it's going to be a total invitation, and then going forward into year 2, 3, 4, there'll be those two campaigns. There'll be a renewal campaign and the invitation, trying to get more people into it and grow it. And then send customized acknowledgments. Let them the back end is a very important piece, and whatever you create, you need to be able to fulfill, or you're going to lose people, or the brand is not going to be strong if you're not willing to do that. And also sprinkle within your special appeals. It could be variable copy, acknowledging people who are a part of the mid-level program and supporting the brand, or let them know that you know who they are and that they were invited, and maybe what they might have to give additionally to get into the first level or first tier of the mid-level program. In some cases, you might want to create a special appeal as a follow-up further in your calendar to remind them about the club and to ask for support. So all of these things are possible, and obviously variable copy is less expensive and something you can do within your existing calendar, but special appeals obviously helps to promote the special nature of the relationship that you're trying to create with them, and presents them, if it's a high-end package, with a better feel and experience for them. And always promote mid-level giving across all your channels. Have something on your website identifying the mid-level giving. In your annual report, there's lots of different ways you can promote mid-level giving throughout the year. And then, you know, if you can't brand, if you feel like, hey, we can't even have 3,000 names, is there a way that you can have sort of a silent mid-level program, which is to send out 3 or 4 high-end mid-level type packages to key donors? So start bucketing people and thinking about that as a prelude to actually establishing a branded program that you might want to do. Create a distinctive name and brand. If you have a budget, create a unique brand, meaningful to your donors. We try to tie it into an organization's mission, create logos, which are visual cues to boost awareness. It helps with recruitment and retention, but also keep it simple. Keep it something manageable that you know that you can execute. So I thought to try to reinforce this, I'd give you an example. One of the organizations that I work with is Lighthouse International, which is a program, an organization whose mission is to help people with low or no vision. We launched their program in 2009. We created it as a low-maintenance program, easy to manage. They only had 2,000 donors at the time, with cumulative giving of $100 or more. And we did add some likely prospects based on some overlays. And just in the first 3 years, the pool of $100 plus donors has increased by over 27%. This is a picture of the package that we created for people who know kind of the RoboPen type packages. We created the unique name, Beacon Society. You can see kind of going off the B, there's the beacon of light. So it has the tie-in with Lighthouse and with Vision. So we, you know, we created that special brand specifically for them, which hopefully people got the connection right away in terms of their mission and the organization. We recognize donors between giving levels of 100 and up, in this case, it was up to 1,000, which is where their major gift level started. We named the different steps at 100, 250, 500, and then the top level was the beginning of their major gifts level, which was the Strauss and Society. But again, it was more just to make the donor feel appreciated and also encourage them and inspire them to higher levels of giving. In this case, we labeled them associate, partner, benefactor, and like I said, the Dorothy Strauss and Society. You guys can you can create names, and for other organizations, we tie it much more into the mission of the organization. I had one where it was a refugee, and the levels were protector, and you know, had names that correlated more to the mission, what the action words of what the organization was trying to do. For Special Olympics, they have bronze, silver, and gold as their levels, which, you know, obviously ties in with Olympics and competition. So you can have level names that are easily recognizable, supports the brand, and supports the mission. Benefits, and this is something that is really important, because you're going to have to fulfill these benefits if you offer the benefits. The benefits should be something that is really simple to do. You don't want to add a lot of cost, because sometimes that cost can become a negative if people think you're spending the money in the wrong way. should be commensurate with the level of support. And as you go higher up into the levels, you also hopefully are providing maybe more insider access. But always use a combination of tangible and intangible benefits. Typically, the entry level we recognize with some type of certificate. And then benefits can be either something low cost or further recognition. For smaller organizations, you may not want to be able, you may not be capable of sending out benefits, you know, as they acquire a certain level. Some organizations that we work with, they send out the actual benefits quarterly for cost purposes. They will repurpose inventory of gifts and premiums. With Lighthouse, for example, they had eyeglass cleaners that they were giving out as one of their major events. And they had a whole bunch left over. That became one of the benefits in the mid-level. So think about that. Think about what you might be purchasing for other things within the organization, and can you just buy a little extra and make it part of your mid-level program? Also, things like honor rolls work really well. It's a benefit. It's a recognition. It's acknowledging their giving level, but excuse me, it's not adding any additional cost for you. And then access to leadership, conference calls, webinars. There was just something on the Agitator about ways, for example, with PETA, where they have huge town hall meetings. This is great. It gives you an opportunity to give them access into the organization with the leadership of the organization, but doesn't cost a lot of money and makes the donor feel special. So those are all things that are great types of things in terms of benefits. This is hard to see, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but this with Beacon Society, because it's based a lot in New York, it gave them invitation to free screenings and other special events at the president level. The other benefits were, you know, a magical tapestry, which was a CD. They have a music school for the kids with visual impairment. So in this case, it was benefits that tied in with the mission of the organization and further enriches them. Develop benefits. Here's another one. All the benefits were intangible. Other than the certificate at the $100 level, all the rest of the benefits were honor rolls, insider reports, which newsletters were already getting, and access to speakers as they went along. So we launched this for macular degeneration research in 2012, the invite year, and in 2013 was their first renewal year. And what we saw was 163% gain in the major gift, because one of those mid-level donors turned into a million-dollar donor for the major gift. But also in the mid-level, there was an 11% gain in that level. And you also want to, when you do this invitation series, we want to make sure we're targeting the right audience, like we talked before. Usually it starts with the original invite going out in week one, first class postage, and then a reminder or a follow-up 2 weeks later in week three. This allows you to, within the same month, touch these most important donors twice, reinforcing the brand over again. We had a high end. We had the first class postage. We used RoboPen for Lighthouse and the Beacon Society, so it really looked like a letter coming from, handwritten letter coming from the organization. Thicker, better paper, all the really nice package. And then the letter was personalized with some handwritten PS on the bottom. Gift levels were linkages. You can't see that, but for each of the $100 level, it told you what you got for $100, what they could do with $250, and what they could do with $500. 500 gives an eye exam to somebody and eyeglasses for one child. So we had linkages for all of that. And then a separate reply slip that, again, reinforced all the levels and benefits and had a first-class reply envelope. This is an example of an email invitation that we did for another organization called MAP International, sent along with a direct mail invitation as a follow-up. So we, you know, try to do things cross-channel. And then develop customized acknowledgments. It doesn't. You can still have your regular acknowledgment program so that people are thanked directly, but as they make certain levels, you want to make sure that you're acknowledging them with the brand and letting them know we know that you know that they have joined the mid-level program. For the top giving levels, you may want to even consider doing a phone call. Again, these are things that you want to consider and evaluate based on how much support time and staff time you can to the program, and obviously how much revenue is being generated by it. We talked about sending out special appeals. So two or three times a year at least, you should try to reinforce the brand, reinforce the Giving Club, especially if you're launching it for the first time. If you're on a limited budget, you may want to talk about doing variable copy or lasering the brand onto an existing appeal that's going out so that you're not adding a whole lot of additional cost. And make sure that the letter talks about members' special relationship with the organization. Acknowledge them if they've joined or if they're renewing what their giving level was last year. And then for those people, if you can add an insert all the time, reminding them of the mid-level benefits, insert those benefits into the renewal campaigns or acknowledgments to select renewing donors. Put them in your acknowledgments so that they remind. That's something you can do on the back end. That's not an appeal, but just continues to reinforce the brand. Also, make sure that across channels it's being promoted. Make sure you have a mid-level web page so people see that you know, they're not just seeing it in the mail, but they can go on the web and see that this is an important, how valuable these people are, because you're designating a special web page or landing page for special donations so that the brand is consistent across and that you're promoting it across and they know and that you know who they are. Provide email addresses for real people within your organization that the donors can contact. That's the access stuff we talked about. It doesn't necessarily mean that the person is going to be designated only to the mid-level, but to have a person as opposed to contact at or information at lighthouseinternational.com or .org. Have a person's name and create a relationship with another person, not with just the organization. And also, if you have newsletters, promote it in the newsletters. I had one organization, they listed their honor roll of all the mid-level donors in their newsletter once a year. So that's an option. So this is about smaller organizations. We've talked a lot about this, so I'm going to kind of breeze through this. But cultivating mid-level giving through high-end packages. If you don't have a brand, you can do special appeals that identifies an audience internally, even though you're not promoting necessarily the mid-level out to the audience. In this case, for MAP, they did a proposal package where they really asked for an investment. It was more of an investment into their mission and to a larger project. And they created linkages with tangible reminders of the real impact of donor's gift. So you can do proposal packages or four-page letters that really kind of gives an insider feel in the special treatment. They did with this one, they did the email, and then they sent an oversized manila envelope with double first-class stamps and hand-addressed, and it looks like it came straight from their headquarters. And then to kind of further promote the insider feel, on the left-hand side they had, you know, all the, it looked like official stationery from the president's office with all the board members and high-ranking officials down the side. They also used a paper clip with a business card attached to the package with a person's name that they could get in touch with about the proposal. So it made it really feel like it was hand-assembled. And then here was the three-page proposal of what they were trying to get funding for. Very targeted, very high-end, asking for high amounts, and giving them a package and background information that corresponded with the serious commitment they were asking them to make. And again, just this was a full-page reply. So just, again, sort of a creative treatment to go along with that. And as we said, we really want to integrate all your programs, direct response, mid-levels, and major gifts. Develop an annual contact plan for each program. Make sure, I've seen things where you create a mid-level program, and then you create it where you have these acknowledgments, and ultimately your acknowledgments and your premiums or your treatments outshine the treatment that a major donor gets. So just make sure there's consistency and that there's as you go up further, you're creating further acknowledgement and further access into the organization, that things are consistent going from top to bottom, and that it truly is, your mid-level program truly is a bridge into your major gift program. It's important that your major gift program supports this effort as well. So just to recap the eight steps to success. Where did that go? The recap is gone. Oh, well. Identify your audience, make the program manageable, make sure that the steps on the back end you can fulfill the whatever it is that you start, make sure you have buy-in from your top management, and then make sure that if you create a brand, that you promote it through other channels and through other communications throughout the year, and that you're truly consistent going from your core donors through the mid-level up into the major gift level. Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Andy. We kind of butted up right here against the time limit, so we can follow up with any of the reader questions, the attendee questions that we have. So thanks again, Andrew. On behalf of Fundraising Success Magazine, I want to thank you again for attending this session. In order to download the tracking document, you'll need to claim the CFRE points you're entitled to for participation in this session. please click on the resource widget below. It's marked with a file folder. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during this presentation, we encourage you to visit the networking lounge to chat live with other session attendees. Please also visit the info booth and fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. Remember, if you miss anything today, the entire virtual show will be archived. The on-demand environment will be available for 3 months starting on Monday. Have a great day, everyone, and thanks for attending.